three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. Good evening, Jason. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for asking, Homer, and I know you're doing fine.
I'm doing fine, yes.
Is it that exclusive, though? Like, you gave one to John Anderson.
Yes. John Anderson, you.
Okay, who else?
Brian Bulaga.
Bulaga's got one, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who else? What about Tausch? Does he have his own Yingling?
He does not. He does not. I don't know. He may on other shows. He doesn't have one on this show.
Does he appear on the show?
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh, well, if he did, you'd give him one.
I definitely would give him one, yes.
Okay. All right. So the only real requirement of having your own Yingling guest hotline is you have to appear on this show.
No.
Is that fair?
No. It's not really the case. No. Other people come on the show as guests, and they're on the Yingling hotline. I have a standard. You asked a couple people. You can ask me others. Gary Ellerson, not yet.
Gary Ellerson doesn't have one.
No.
Wow.
No. He's close.
Tim Van Voren.
Tim Van Voren, definitely. He's four-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year. Yes.
He is, yeah.
Now, if we were on in Georgia, Gary Ellerson would by all means have his Gary Ellerson Yingling Hotline. He was high school athlete, football player of the year in Georgia the year following Herschel Walker. And it was certain that he was going to Georgia until at the last minute he changed his mind going to Wisconsin.
I think he made the right choice.
You know what they call? You know what Vince Dooley called him in Georgia?
I don't know. What did he call him?
The traitor.
Well, that seems aggressive.
That's how good he was. He was actually more of a wide receiver than a running back.
We're thankful.
In Georgia, yes. Oh, yeah. What? There were a number of people coming from Georgia then, if you remember. The other running back I remember is Larry Emery, and then I don't know who the other players. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, Gary Ellison's good, but it's not in Georgia. He's getting close. I'm not exactly sure what he has to do to get his own Yingling hotline, but anyway,
it's very fair. Yes.
Yeah. All right. And now have you you've had a day to think about Giannis leaving?
I haven't been thinking about Giannis.
Okay, you've moved on.
So did you read Jim Ozarski's piece in the Journal Sentinel?
I don't want to comment on that because I don't want to get in the middle of something. Something that he said previously, I'm incapable of comprehending that he knew
that
this.
He said or Giannis said. Oh yeah.
I don't. Yeah. I'm in
all
that
right.
business.
We can move on. Yep.
Yeah.
I would say it was well packaged to kind of take us through chronologically. I thought he did a really good job with that. I think, you know, I do think, however you feel about it, yes, you know, positive, negative, or indifferent, and what it says, I do think the Miles Turner podcast stuff, talking about Giannis being late for flights and stuff, I do think that should have been in there. And I'd be curious as to why it wasn't, because I don't know. Does everybody know that? That was some pretty pointed criticism. And even if you think that maybe it was exaggerated, which I think maybe some people believe, there was still something there. But I thought it was fair. I really did. I thought Jim did a good job with it in terms of, you know, my frustration, as I voiced to you yesterday, was that it just felt like there were a lot of people that were, you know, blaming the Bucks and didn't really appreciate the fact that I think Giannis did some things that were sketchy or duplicitous.
Yeah. The Bucks went out of their way to do whatever. If there's a fault in the Bucks, they went out of their way to do whatever to make him happy, to keep him, to give it one final shot, I think partially because of the injuries that affected Indiana and Boston. But
I think what bothered me the most, and I was glad that Jim was pretty comprehensive in exploring this, was the whole thing about them not playing him. Like, Giannis tattled to the NBA Players Association and then kept escalating it.
Yeah.
I mean, that, to me, I mean, I don't know. That's just, to do that to your own team, like, look, there's certainly been times.
No, but that tells me he just lost it. That's so incredibly stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's no other word for it. Wherever you play, You've been injury prone, and we're out. We can't make the playoffs. Like, there is no explanation for him wanting to do that. He doesn't even have to care about the Bucks. He could care about the next team he's going to play for.
Yeah, I think the explanation.
What is the explanation? I'm curious.
I don't know Giannis. I've never covered him. I've never even met him. So, you know, unlike other players that I've covered, I at least have a better, like Free, who we had a great time with today.
That was very good.
His son, Alex.
You know what was the greatest part of that conversation? When he paused, when you asked about which was better, what he did or watching his son.
Yeah.
And it took him a long time because I know. And then the way he just it was so real, and that's one of the reasons you like him. I know.
Yeah, he's very authentic. So
by the way, people, where can they get that? You have to listen to that interview.
Yeah, it's in the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's obviously wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, etc.
All parents of all athletic kids should listen to that. Or
yes,
watch it.
Including your dad, if he could.
That's very good.
I try. But what I was going to say about Giannis, and look, again, I don't think I'm being unfair to him. I'm not. And I hate people. One of my biggest pet peeves about people that do my job is that they don't say anything about a guy until after he leaves town, and then they just crush him. And I think I've been pretty consistent about
I'm just amazed you keep on bringing this up every time it comes up. You're incredibly consistent with everybody you've ever dealt. I could call you that as your nickname. You're consistent. You you are very nice. You care about them as people, but you will ask the tough questions. And you are consistent with Aaron Rodgers. You're consistent with every athlete. I'm not sure you're consistent with me sometimes, but aside from that. Oh, you're consistent with me.
You're a little more mercurial.
No, you're consistent with everyone, and you don't even have to try. That's just you. So you don't have to say, I'm consistent. If someone says you're not consistent, Jason, that's on them, and you're never going to change them because they don't get it.
I appreciate that.
That's so easy. But go ahead.
So my struggle with Giannis has obviously been, you know, taking a level of ownership in it ending because of him. And like the fact that he, at one point in a conversation with Jim, as he writes, admitted that they did talk about him being traded when he had claimed that they hadn't. Like, again, just don't lie. Like, just tell the truth.
I think his people told him to do that, everything that he did. Yeah. But he shouldn't listened to him. He's responsible.
Right.
Totally.
Right. Like, yep. If somebody tells me to lie, I'm not required to follow that advice. And I can say, you know what? I don't believe in lying. So, again,
you know what that tells me? He just changed a little. I asked somebody, and they said he did. And they said a lot of them changed. I asked him, do you know anyone, and this guy's older than me, that didn't change? He mentioned two NBA players, David Robinson and Tim Duncan. He said of all the great ones, and this guy's been around all of them, those are the only two he could think of that never changed. I think Brunson will never change.
I think from a Wisconsin athlete version, because look, we have let's be truthful.
Aaron
Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers did change. Brett Favre did change.
Yeah.
From my understanding, and I am not an unbiased judge of this, because not only did I never cover him, but I grew up idolizing him. But I think if you talk to our friend John Kerry, you talk to anybody that's really interacted with him now that he's 70 years old. I think people would say Robin Yount.
Without
changed.
A doubt. Yes. No one appreciated sometimes how good he is because he didn't want to talk about baseball sometimes. But yes, that's the first person
I
was thinking
And I think
of.
That's a – right. And so my point is simply that that's a – you know, I am in no way perfect. I may be consistent.
You have some
perfect.
Packers you could mention, though. I'd be curious who you
– Yeah, I mean, I think – The struggle with this and
Frank Winter's never
why,
changed.
Well, no, he didn't. but I think it's important to appreciate the level of stardom and how that factors in, right? And
great
I would
point.
Defend Giannis to be consistent. I would defend him by saying that achieving that level of superstardom, I would say it makes it very hard not to change,
yeah.
right? And you have to be pretty vigilant and put forth a pretty concerted effort to prevent yourself from changing. And if you don't and you let your guard down, you can easily change. But, like, you know, I would say, for example, Davante Adams did not change. Now, he's not a quarterback, so the league's a little different, but still wide receivers. He has been, and I still keep in touch with him, but he was very consistent. You know, Jordy Nelson did not change. Now, Jordy Nelson, his level of stardom, he was a one-time first-team All-Pro, I believe. So those guys aren't in Giannis's stratosphere. But the problem with using the Packers, and I think it's a good question by you, but the problem is you can only use the quarterbacks. Like, I can't use Reggie because Reggie I covered for like 3 years, right? I don't know what he was like.
No, he never changed.
I would say this, Butler never changed.
I was going to say that next, yes. And that's of note because he wasn't that big a star when he first came, and he was on a team that wasn't that good. And so he certainly had the ability or reason to change, given how much his position changed in terms of importance.
You know, and another guy that, again, these are unfair to Giannis because these guys never faced the level of stardom that Giannis we're talking about here. But, like, Clay Matthews, however you felt about him, and certainly there were critics of him, and he wasn't as productive late in his career in Green Bay, but he was very consistent. He was he obviously had plenty of ego, but he was like I never felt like he was phony. Like he was cocky now, and he owned it. And you know, he did care about stats and all those things, but he also, you know, cared very deeply about winning. So again, I don't think that I've covered enough players. Like the question that I would ask, and I haven't talked to this guy in a while, but like I would be willing to bet that Ray Allen didn't change.
Yes, I
went different places.
I would agree. I would agree with you there. Same. Yes.
So
no, it's and I've said before, I still believe that Aaron Rodgers is a great person. It's just hard to defend. Whereas, and I still think Giannis is a great person, and it's a little easier to defend than Rodgers, but I can understand that what you said and everything is true. It makes it more difficult, but there's just the resume, and you have enough years to be around someone to say, you know, in the end, putting everything together, he was special. We're lucky to have been around. Rodgers, Mark Murphy just said it best, I think, about Rodgers.
All right, being a complicated fellow.
Yes, he's a complicated fellow. Besides that, I still think he's a great person. And I didn't say good. I said great.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that's something I'd like to investigate further, and maybe I'll make it out to Pittsburgh in August and I can catch up with him. But I would also say this about Giannis. Like, it was interesting. This is why I thought Jim did such a good job on his story. Like, you know, at the beginning he points out about how Giannis was apparently displeased that they didn't fire Bud faster. And then later it's talking about how if he ran a team, he would run it like Bud did. Like, I think he really just struggled with – and by the way, if I recall correctly, one of the things that factored into them not making a decision on Bud more quickly was his brother passed away. And I would hope, I would want to believe that people that are authentically good people, like we felt Giannis was, and I don't know him well enough to say if that's true or not, would be a little more understanding of a situation like that. Somebody on Twitter who goes by Paul Pressey, but I don't think he is Paul Pressey, mentioned that, and I thought it was a really good point. So
yeah, I think as far as Bud, I think Edens wanted to fire him even before they won the championship.
I think they did. No, I think that's been pretty much well reported.
Okay, and then he won it, right?
And again, and you gave me a hard time for this, and so did Tausch when we were talking about LaFleur. And look, LaFleur did not win a title. And Bud did. However they got there, they won it, right? But I think that what the Bucks have done since, and I think very highly of Taylor Jenkins, so I think they may have finally landed with the right coach, and now they just have to figure out who the right players are. But, like, my argument of, well, if you're going to fire Matt LaFleur, who I think is a really good coach, who are you going to replace him with? And is it going to be are you going to be ending up with people who are even worse?
You could.
Because and the Bucks are proof of it. Like,
yes.
However you felt about Bud, they managed to make it worse, not better.
I didn't know people didn't like it. Was he just tough? Did Giannis think he was too tough on him or what?
Yeah, too rigid, I think, is the word that Jim used in his story. Again, I I'm not here to tell you to subscribe to the Journal Sentinel. I read it because I'm a subscriber.
I'll read it. I do subscribe.
For the Press Gazette. So it is worth it. It's very long.
I'll do it.
Don't be too long, didn't read. Guys.
Well, no, that's the great thing about the current paper. It's the same way about Marquette. Because there isn't a limit, the amount of the length, and when it's good, that makes it even better. The ability to cover the team is potentially better than it's ever been, given that there's really no limit to how long you can write or how much you can write about the team if you follow them, right?
I am proof of that. Yeah.
That's a good thing. Sure. It's not a bad thing. So this would be a good case. All right. I will. I'll definitely read it. I've always – Lori Nichols always done a good job. She covered Marquette and – has always been a pro's pro. And she went to Indiana because of the, at least I think that's what she told me. It's been a while. Because of the basketball. She loved basketball and Indiana was good. That's why she went to Indiana.
She had a great relationship with Bob Knight. And I could not stand Bob Knight. And the amazing thing to me was that one of Bob Knight's good friends was Badgers men's hockey coach, Jeff Sauer. And I always used to talk to Jeff about this. Because two people could not have been more different.
That's correct.
Than the way those two.
I could see Badger Bob and Bob Knight being close.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. Yeah, sure. But my favorite thing was that Jeff Sauer gave me a VHS tape of these outtakes. They eventually made it onto the internet.
From the golf show?
Bob Knight from that golf show.
Yeah.
And it is the most entertaining 20-minute VHS tape I have ever owned.
I was, as you may or may not, I was a finalist for the Indiana tennis job in 1980 and went on campus.
I didn't know this.
And did not get the job. They picked the other guy. But I did get one of the greatest Bob Knight stories ever, though I could never verify that it was true, where he would cross paths with the wrestling coach every day. Have I told you this before or not? I don't know if I have.
You have not. I do not know this story.
So this is the coach who was leaving, and I said, well, I don't think I'm going to get the job. So do you have any good night stories? He said, I have the greatest night story ever. You can decide if it's true. He said the wrestling coach was a former Big Ten player, and they would cross paths, he and Bob Knight, every day at Assembly Hall, and Knight never said a word to him. Finally, the wrestling coach got so upset, he said, this is going to end. So he walks into the basketball office and says to the secretary, Knight, like most big coaches, have their own office. You got to go through somebody to get them. She says, I'm going to see Coach Knight. And she says, I'm sorry, he's not available. He goes, I know he's in the room. I'm walking in. He opens the door, walks into the office, jumps on all fours on the desk. This is the tennis coach telling me, puts his arms around Knight and says, you SOB, you better say hi to me when I say hi to you, or I'm going to break both your effing arms. And I'm saying to the tennis coach, come on, come on. All right, tell me the end. He said, the next day they met in Assembly Hall. The wrestling coach said hi, and Bob Knight said hi. And I thought, I don't know if it's true, but I'm sure if it is, everybody else loved telling that story of the one guy who stood up to Bob Knight. So you can find out if that's true. It was so good. I said, as you could understand, I don't even care if it's not true. I'm going to tell that story the rest of my life. Because it was the only value of going to Bloomington, Indiana that day and like January of 1980 or something, 81. So,
well, they should have hired you, but think about where your career would have gone from there.
I have no idea. It is what it is.
But I'm glad it went the way it did.
I'm not.
For me.
I'm not.
Okay. Well,
but, you know, like everybody doesn't have something in their life that they want and don't get. And then, you know, but anyway, it's that part of it wasn't necessary. All right, Jason, thanks.
All right, Homer.
Find out, do your great research. If you know anybody at IU, maybe you can call Lori Nichols. Say, do you think that's true? Who was the wrestling coach in 1980?
I will call her right away.
All right, thanks. Bye. Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time.